Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Radio Show, a two-hour show every second week through BBS Radio. I'd like to thank Don and Doug and all the folks at BBS for making this possible. I'm in the third year of this show at this time, and my original focus in the Zero Point Show was on explorations of mystical, spiritual, and occult psychology and science. My background is as a clinical and forensic psychologist, but through my life, I've been interested in the nature and origins of human consciousness. And that led me, after studying modern psychology, to explore the esoteric teachings of humanity in order to understand these issues of consciousness. And most importantly, through my work, I realized that within the spiritual psychologies and all of the religions, the origin of consciousness is regarded as related to the human heart. And this contrasts with the last 100 years of modern science, where scientists have all assumed that somehow the brain within the head produces human consciousness. So my most important book compares the heart doctrine to the head doctrine. A second area of my interest is in creation physics, and I've long had an interest in physics and science. And then I've studied mystical views and metaphysical views of creation. And through my studies, I found amazing parallels. And my most recent book is called God, Science, and the Secret Doctrine. Secret Doctrine was a classic book of Western occultism published by Blavatsky in 1888. And I compare Blavatsky's views of creation with the newest ideas in quantum physics, including ideas about vacuum genesis, creation from singularities, the notion of seven-dimensional hyperspace, ideas about broken symmetries in higher dimensional space, and so on. So that's been my lifelong interest. For 30 years now, I've explored esoteric teachings, and 5 years ago, I left my work within the prison system in Ontario, Canada, where I worked in the prison system for 12 years, and I work full-time now under Zero Point Institute for Mystical and Spiritual Science, and I'm up here in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. About 3 years ago, my youngest son, 15 at the time, showed me the movie Loose Change, which was an expose of 9/11. And at the time, it was an absolute complete shock to me. I had no idea that there were such questions about the events of 9/11. And that opened up what can only be described as a can of worms for me. I realized that the public in North America had been completely deceived about the events of 9/11. And further, our governments are complicit in covering up the true perpetrators of these crimes. And the more I learned over the last 3 years, mainly through the internet, internet radio and through the internet, the more you learn, the more and more horrifying it becomes. It's like waking up in an insane asylum. You begin to realize, I look up in the sky now and I see, oh, these people are spraying us from the air with chemical poisons. And they're degrading the food and they're trying to restrict our access to health care and vitamins. And they're slowly creating a police state within our society. And over time, it becomes complex as you try to understand, like, who's behind all these things and what's the origins of this? And then over time, I realized that we've been lied to for the past century through our educational system and through the media, which have been deliberately concocted to deceive the public about the true events of what's going on in our society and what has gone on historically. And it's a process I can only, is best described by the term of waking up. you wake up to the deception of what has been perpetrated upon the citizens of North America, as indeed around the world. We don't live in democracies, because our governments are in fact controlled by a group of international banksters and corporate elite and elitist families. And the more you wake up, the more horrifying it becomes. And we all have to have courage to face the monstrous things upon us in these times. We may well slip into a completely fascist totalitarian state. And at the same time, around the world, there's a growing truth movement of people waking up to what's been done and the public deception that's been perpetrated upon us. So, since waking up, more and more, unfortunately, my show has kind of shifted from discussion of esoteric science and the psychology of consciousness and such, and it's shifted to trying to address these issues of what's being done to us within our society. It's like if we can't maintain our own health and well-being, then this esoteric teachings, it will be of no value to people. It won't be brought into the educational system or be allowed to for people in our society to gain knowledge of these higher sciences. Instead, we've been dummied down, and this has been done intentionally to us over many years now. So I have become more political in my focus, and in my own life, I've joined the Canadian Action Party, which is the only party in Canada which I would say is a non-New World psychiatric disordered party. Although the elites call it the New World Order, I prefer to call it the Old World psychiatric disorder. Firstly, because these people are not new. Their activities are the bloodstains through human history. They're the wars that they've created, all under false flag events and deceiving the public intentionally through the media and through Hollywood. This has all been done intentionally. The mainstream media, these people are pathological liars, and they know it. But they're paid enough money that they're willing to sell their souls and deceive their countrymen and take part in these terrible schemes being perpetrated against us. And particularly at this time, we're facing an ominous, ominous threat, which is this enforced inoculations under the World Health Organization, which now has the authority to enforce inoculations in 160 countries around the world. And these people, Dr. Chan and other neo-Nazis in the World Health Organization, are going to enforce these inoculations upon people, which is part of their plan to commit genocide. They call it the culling of the population. So we are in very, very serious times, and our only hope in ways is the truth movement, and that we, through awakening up those people in our society, we need to wake up the police and wake up the teachers and wake up the healthcare administrators and see everybody, even people who have become part of the system, really had no idea what they were getting involved with. But then they get in and they fall into silence by being blackmailed and intimidated and so on. Or they know they speak out and they'll lose their job, or their unfortunate accidents will happen to them and so on. So it is a scary time, but if we do nothing, it will be even scarier. So we have to try to be brave and have courage. And the word courage actually comes from French, and from la cour, which means heart. So the word courage means having a new heart. And that's how I see the people in the truth movement. And I've been impressed by when I meet 9/11 truthers and other activists that these people I see, they have heart. They're fighting the New World Order because they have a deeper sense of morality. because they can't stand the injustice that's been perpetrated against people. I see the soldiers of the new age are really the truthers in our society and times. So I consider myself as part of that truth movement today. And before I forget, I would like to mention I've been invited back on Don Nikoloff's show on BBS Radio on Tuesday night. It's 1 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time, 10 o'clock Pacific Time. So I'll be back with Don Nikoloff on Evident Footprints. And for those not familiar with Don's show, Don has a fascinating show and does all kinds of original research. And, I do recommend his show to tune into his show, which is one of the best truth shows being offered through the networks. Okay, so today I have a series of three guests, one in the first hour and then two in the second hour. And the first guest is Kevin Annett, who Kevin's been on this show twice before. And Kevin was a United Church minister in British Columbia when he began to uncover evidences of the genocide committed against Native children through the residential school programs in British Columbia under the Catholic and United and other churches. And he has a website at, let me find it here. It's hiddenfromhistory.org. And he's produced a remarkable documentary movie called Unrepentant. And today, we'll introduce Kevin, and then I want to come to discuss this proclamation for a United Kanata, which has been produced, a remarkable document. And Kevin and I will be focusing mainly on this document in our show today. Okay, Kevin, welcome.
Hi. Hi, Chris. Thank you. How are you?
Fine. Well, thank you for coming back, and we have a little different focus today from what we've had previously.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us, I know while you're on air here, I really would like to read through some of this document. I regard it as a historic, profound document, and maybe you can give us a little bit of background into this, and then maybe we, together I can read through some of this and we can have discussion of it as we go through.
Sure, thank you. We actually came up with this document over the last 2 years. This is something I helped to draft along with a number of Native elders and non-Native people in Winnipeg and other places in the West. And really what it is a statement of after 12 or more years of trying to get the Canadian churches and governments to even acknowledge, take responsibility at a human level for the crimes they committed, you know, the tens of thousands of children who died at their hands intentionally. After, you know, basically being frustrated in that because, of course, the people who commit and the institutions that commit genocide aren't going to take responsibility for it ever, really. We realized that what we had to do if we were to take seriously the fact of genocide in Canada is to ask more fundamental questions. What caused it? Where is it coming from? What are the institutions responsible? And how can we have a new kind of relationship in a real sense between Native and non-Native people? So out of that, we, you know, from our own historical understanding of that, we realized that we have to basically, for one thing, sever ties with the Crown of England, because they along with the Vatican, these are the two main agencies for genocide in Canada, in anywhere in North America, really, and around the world. And saying that it's time that the Crown, which still legally owns all the land in Canada, it's time for the Crown to go away and for people in Native and non-Native people to take ownership back of their own land. And this is a very practical question for many people, because even somebody who owns their own house, owns their own mortgage, they don't actually. The Crown still owns the land in the same way the government, provincial government, owns your motor vehicle and can take it at any time. We're paupers and serfs on our own land, whether you're Native or non-Native. And so we, first of all, have to say that we need to establish a true republic. And using the name Kanata, which is the Eastern Six Nations word originally, meaning our village. Going back to the original offer made by Native people on the East Coast when the European settlers arrived, and that was simply, they call it in the Six Nations territory the two-road wampum, in that on the wampum belt it was inscribed that there were two rivers, and down one river was a canoe with the European settlers, and then the other were the indigenous people of this land. And we were to coexist as partners, not one dominating the other, taking the other's land, destroying the other's culture. The Native people stood by that declaration, and we didn't. We violated it. We attempt to exterminate. We still view them as subordinate nations that are part of something called Canada. We're really just a corporation under the authority of this figurehead, the Queen of England. A fictitious legal jurisdiction, in other words, that's maintaining a neo-colonial kind of situation. So if we're really to be free of the vestiges of genocide, we have to get rid of the institutions responsible. That's the Crown of England, the Churches of Canada, and the Vatican, of course, which was the architect for the genocide in the residential schools. They are the ones who established the model for it and ran most of the residential schools. So it's really aimed at those two perpetrators of genocide. Now, the way we're looking at this is we want to open the debate. There was a recent survey done in Canada about 2 years ago that showed 37% of people in Canada supported the idea of a republic. And I think that's a huge number. It's about the same percentage whenever the separatist movement in Quebec takes a vote. That's about what they get in terms of the support for a separate Quebec. We think this is a really significant indication that people do not, you know, want the old system and are looking for some alternatives.
When you say 37% of people want a republic, what exactly is meant by that? What does it imply? Like, as a Canadian, I realize lately I've been deceived because I thought that the Crown now was more ceremonial and that Canada had achieved its independence from England, but now I realize that whole thing was a deception.
No, that was a deception created by Pierre Trudeau in 1982. He's a Jesuit-trained, prime minister, and like every prime minister since 1968, he was a Roman Catholic. Every prime minister except Stephen Harper now and Kim Campbell, they've all been Catholics, and they haven't been willing to really expose what's really happening here. But in 1982, when he said he was bringing home the Constitution, he didn't actually change the power structure. The Governor General is still the legal head of the Government of Canada, and Michael Jean can at any point remove the government if an order came from Buckingham Palace to do so. So under the guise of it being a constitutional monarchy, of the Queen just being a figurehead, that's not actually the case. If it was the case, then how come the Crown still owns all the land in Canada? She's the official landowner of Canada. So if we were an independent country, that wouldn't be the case. And all we mean by republic is simply a sovereign nation. Rationally, in Canada, the way it's got to be is a federation of nations, because we have to recognize the equality and sovereignty of all the indigenous nations. So it would be more like an assembly of different nations, similar to what they had in Yugoslavia before its dissolution, where all the different nationalities have equal representation in a House of Deputies, it's a republic and a self-governing nation, kind of analogous to what my people in Ireland went through when they declared independence from England, or in the United States, or any other country that abolished the legal and every other tie to the Crown of England.
Yeah, and then it's fascinating also in the States how it's now come out that really the States also never really established their country separate from the control by the banking and other elites of England. I mean,
yeah.
That's been shocking also.
There's been a lot written on that, and people can find that on any kind of Google search. But, yeah, it's interesting that you have to make a distinction between the appearance of something and what actually is the case. You don't actually become a sovereign nation through a simple declaration. You have to go through a whole proclamation whereby you go to the root. The root issue here is who owns the root title to the land. And the thing about treaties, for example, when Native people sign treaties, they're actually signing away their own sovereignty in return for money. And they become corporations. That's the term First Nations, actually a corporate designation, whereby native nations which have inherent title to the land for having occupied it for so many centuries. They have an innate, title to their own land. That's signed away in treaty-making processes, and they become the equivalent of a municipality under the law. So, in other words, if you look at the start of the preamble to any treaty, it says they recognize the authority of the crown. Well, once you've done that, you're a subsidiary of the crown. And in fact, the argument is made in the United States that they never actually severed that tie. So I'd urge people to look into that themselves. There's a lot of arguments both ways about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this declaration, which we'll come to in a minute and go through it, it was formulated over the last 2 years, and then there was a ceremony, I guess, in Winnipeg this July 1st, where it was signed and brought into effect.
That's right, and in fact, at that ceremony, we established within a council of elders, we took an oath of allegiance to the Republic of Ganata. So it, in fact, has come into being. And we urge people, really, at this point, it's a matter of switching one's allegiance, dissolving your allegiance to the Crown and all of its agencies. That includes Parliament, the courts, every so-called legal entity in Canada, and taking an oath of allegiance to this Republic of Ganata. And we even have our flag designed and working on an anthem and all of that. So that's actually in the fall. You'll be seeing those activities across the country. We chose Winnipeg because not only is it the center of what's called Canada, but historically it was a place where Native and non-Native people came together and lived with a certain amount of quality, and the Métis nations are the proof of that, and that we can live together on the basis of sharing the land, and that's really the only way we're going to deal honestly with the genocide that we've inflicted by doing that.
Yeah, upon reading this proclamation, I felt I want to join. I'm so tired of having a criminal government. Like, we have a completely criminal government in Canada. Uh-huh. They've involved us in Afghanistan based completely on lies. They've intentionally deceived the Canadian population about why we're involved in Afghanistan. Uh-huh. They've deceived the population about how they're dissolving our sovereignty as Canadians and selling off our land. They've deceived the Canadians to think that we live in a democracy when the whole time these people have been controlled by secret societies like the Council of Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergs, and our politicians have no allegiance to the Canadian people.
Because they take an oath of allegiance to the Crown and all that represents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's turned out we live now in a completely criminal society. That's how I see it. Like, I look up in the air. Chemtrails really bother me because I think, wow, they're poisoning all these children around me, the animals, the water. It's like they have no respect for, like, the land or life or other people. They actually are poisoning us intentionally.
Yep.
And then they do it now with this inoculation program coming in. They're actually intending to perpetrate genocide against them. And they're going to start with Native people and pregnant women, the next generation.
That's exactly why this, tying it into the need for this proclamation of Ganata now. Being dependent on the Canadian system and the Crown is going to get you killed, because under these laws, as you said, these are mandatory inoculations with proven immune inhibitors in the vaccine, like squalene and other adjuvants that they put in there. And these are clearly for genocidal purposes. I agree with you. So as long as we put ourselves under the authority of the Crown, that can be done to us by declaring independence and saying, no, we don't recognize your jurisdiction over us. We recognize the jurisdiction of this Republic of Ganata. We are placing ourselves under a separate protection, as Native people do when they say, no, I'm not Canadian. I'm Ojibwe or I'm Cree. I'm Salish, whatever. They are, it's a way we have to protect ourselves now. So, in other words, we have to, as you mentioned in your own journey, you've got to go to the next step, which is a higher political and spiritual awareness of what we're involved in, and say we don't have an allegiance to the old system anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I felt. And I'm very interested, like, can I join?
Yeah, like, on our website, you can...
Oh, you have a website.
Well, you know, we're actually the actual Republic of Gannat's constructing website for September.
Okay.
But I mean, on my hiddenfromhistory.org website,
mm-hmm.
there is at the bottom on the left-hand side, you'll see a little statement: "What are we, and what can we become?" And at the bottom of that is the independence, you know, declaration, the oath of allegiance to Gannat. But there is an email that people can write to. It's Republic of Gannat. That's Republic of, and then Kanata at rocketmail.com. And the convener, who that's his email, can send you out a complete copy of this. I don't know sure if you got one yet, but at the bottom of the proclamation, there's the charter, the constitution, and also the oath that people take. Once you take that oath legally, it's binding under the law, under common law. And so you've made that. You can make that statement public. You can urge other people to take it. At that point, you know, you are under international and common law. You've declared yourself to be a citizen of that republic and not of Canada anymore. And that's been happening more and more. People are doing that, you know, especially in the West, but it's beginning to spread east.
Yeah, excellent. So we'll come to that, and we'll come to the oath as we work through this proclamation on today's show. Well, maybe why don't I just begin reading some of it, and I had some questions which we can discuss as we work our way through it. Is that okay, Kevin?
Yes, sure.
Okay. And for listeners, I've posted this proclamation up on my own website at www.zeropoint.ca. And if you look at under recent writings or under the event schedule, you'll find this proclamation. Okay, it reads, I want to read this because I see it as a profoundly important historic document, like the Declaration of Independence or the Canadian Bill of Rights. It's a document of the same stature, and it's a higher moral statement. And I found it truly inspirational. Okay, so the proclamation of the Sovereign Republic of Gannat, and I was pronouncing it Kanata because of the K, but it's obviously, as Kevin's indicated, a soft K or a G, Gannat. We, the sovereign men and women of Canada, with solemn respect to the freedom bestowed upon us by natural right and creation, in accord with
Pronunciatus, it's Latin.
Deus, pronouncement of God, is that the idea?
Yes, yep.
Yeah, so that by, like, the pronouncement of God and by right of natural law, do hereby command this pronouncement be promulgated to all men, women, person, and foreign agents who presently occupy our sovereign lands. And this is the sovereign lands of Canada. We firstly state as a fact, without dispute, that for centuries, a predatory foreign power, calling itself the Crown of England, in league with the Vatican and its Roman cult, has imposed itself as a cruel and illegitimate occupation force on our peoples, raped and drained our lands of their vast wealth and vitality, conducted wars of aggression and genocide against our nations, murdered the innocent, and kept us in a state of colonial dependency and impoverishment. And further, this regime of oppression and conquest has been instituted through laws and documents promulgated by this Crown of England and the Vatican, which have intentionally given effect and sanction to all of the crimes and cruelties inflicted on our peoples, in complete disregard and contempt towards the natural laws and customs of the original peoples of this land, extending back many centuries, and which have never been duly ceded or extinguished, and that the same Crown and Vatican have habitually and intentionally abrogated due process and the rule of law in the pursuit of this conquest. Secondly, we state as a fact without dispute that the same Crown and Vatican and their chartered companies and agents have imposed the same regime of oppression on the settler populations brought to this land, denying them the rule of law and responsible government in order to dispossess these populations of their rights and land and steal the wealth of the nation for a small minority, an oppression that continues to the present. I found this so, when I read that, it's like now non-natives are beginning to wake up to the same fact that we're under this same kind of totalitarian system.
Yeah.
And like historically, you can see the crimes they've perpetrated against the native people, but it's always been hidden, their criminal activities towards the Canadian public.
Yeah.
So, I think that's most valuable, that in this proclamation, you recognize, well, this hasn't only been done to the natives, this is being done now to all Canadians.
Uh-huh.
Okay, carrying on. This same tyrannical regime has shown an equal contempt and disregard towards the land and its creatures, ravaging and despoiling them for its own profit and that of foreign interests. You know, when I worked in the prison system, Kevin, I was the only staff member ever to be included in the Native Brotherhood, and I used to do the sweats with the Native residents there. And I always loved the prayers that we would have in sweats. I loved the way the Natives, you know, they honor like the elements and the sun and the grandfather sun and the father sky and grandmother moon and mother earth, and then they would bless the creatures of the water and the creatures of the air and so on. And it's like in native teachings, they have that respect for life and the elements in life. And that,
well, we did too in Europe. I mean, in our indigenous traditions, we have exactly the same reverence. And I think it's going back to our roots. This is what a lot of this is about for me.
Yeah. And we see that is like the most despicable thing about these elites in the world today. It's like they have no appreciation of life.
No.
It's astonishing that they poison the air, the land, the water. Thirdly, where agreements and treaties have been made with the Crown and Vatican, the Crown and Vatican have in turn, demonstrated only bad faith and duplicity, and instead acted consistently in violation of the right of just cogens. Maybe you could explain that, the right of just cogens?
Just cogens is a term under a common law, which just means treating people decently, acting according to justice under the law.
Yeah, okay. So they've consistently violated that principle by deliberately instituting documented genocide, mass murder, warfare, enslavement, land theft, kidnapping and destruction of property and culture, such that pacta sunt ver servanda cannot possibly apply to those historic instruments and agreements that Crown and Vatican rely on for their legitimacy. So what could you say, Kevin,
That's another legal term, meaning you in any kind of contract or relationship between people, that both parties treat each other honorably and without duplicity. And that's obviously been violated, because all the times that they were planning treaties, they were at the same time sabotaging them, going back on their word. You know, the whole history of Canada is filled with that.
Yeah. So really, according to this principle, that would then invalidate these treatments of treaties which
that's
have historically been passed. Would,
exactly. It not only invalidates the treaties, it invalidates the government and churches of Canada because they've been involved in a huge fraud under the law.
Yeah.
And as you know, in common law, fraud negates any other legal action. So if it shows, if you've established a contract or a law and it's based on fraud, it's automatically negated and made invalid. And that's the point we're trying to make there.
That is so profound.
Yeah.
Like, that has such profound implications for what's happening in Canada. I mean,
you know, a short example of that is in the residential schools, they told people, and they still say this in the media, that the schools were set up to educate the young and to assimilate them into Canadian culture. That is an absolute falsification. There was no education or an assimilation involved. The aim was extermination. And, you know, segregation, as they're still segregated under the Indian Act, and then extermination, as was proved by the 50,000 or more children who died in them. So that's an example of fraud being perpetrated in the name of the law.
Yeah. And you see this now also across Canada. You see where the corporate elite, for instance, in Ontario, there's one place where they want native land because they want to extract the uranium to sell for the weaponry.
Yep.
Which is illegal against the Canadian law, but the Canadian government no longer cares. They will take part in all of these war crimes without remorse.
Yes,
and
uranium.
So the uranium mining. So then they bring in all the RCMP, and the native protesters are encircled by RCMP. They're taken off to court. They have no real fair or impartial judicial process,
mm-hmm.
and they're incarcerated and intimidated, and we find that across Canada when the elites want native resources.
Well, that's what happens because the native leaders make the mistake, and they don't know any better, of course, because they've been brainwashed and don't understand their own history and what they're living under. But they are told that if you go into the white courts, that's the only avenue you have for seeking justice. Under the law, every Native person is a ward of the state, which means they have no legal rights. It's like they're a child or a mentally incompetent person. The state manages their rights for them. And when they walk into this jurisdiction of these admiralty courts, which are not based on common law but on the rule of the crown directly, like they were called star chamber courts in the Middle Ages in England, where the king would haul in his enemies and try them in secret and kill them in secret. That's the system of a law you still have in Canada. These are admiralty courts with their own jurisdiction. A Native person walks in there, and they're treated like a child. Well, we can do to you whatever we want under the law, and they do. And they don't know any better, so they walk into these star chamber courts, when in fact what Native people need to do is establish their own courts on their own land and bring whites in there and try them. In fact, you know, that's part of what we're talking about when you establish Kanata. We need to set up our own court system and legal system based on the land and traditional tribal laws.
Yeah. Okay, so this is so profound because it seems to me that, like, the Crown treaties with Aboriginal groups across Canada pose an impediment to their creation of their New World psychiatric disordered state.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I guess that's partly why they're wanting to commit genocide again against the natives. Do you see it in that way?
Very much. It's not just an economic motive, but Native people have, by just living, they have an inherent sovereignty entitled to the land. And that sovereignty isn't surrendered even by conquest. It has to be willingly surrendered by people through this act of treaty making or by simply being exterminated, which is, again, more and more, if you look at the death rate in the Native community, it's never lessened. In fact, tuberculosis is making a big comeback in the inner cities now among Native people. I mean, you know, this is clear signs of a genocide that continues.
Yeah. And the genocide, the illness perpetrated through all the vaccination programs,
mm-hmm.
which Natives are and other population are completely lied to about the usefulness of vaccinations, and now it's creating all kinds of sickness in our society.
Well, it's meant to. I mean, to give you an example, the puppet Indian leaders like the Assembly of First Nations, set up by the government in the 1980s, these are self-appointed government-funded Native chiefs who claim to represent the Native people, Sean Atleo, who's the new AFN president, announced the other day that every Native person should get inoculated, that the Indian reserves really need these vaccines. I mean, it's criminal what he's saying, and that's a perfect example of how these Native puppet leaders are being used to impose genocide on their own people.
Yeah.
And that's why they were put in power.
Yeah. Yeah, and so they've taken authority away from traditional Native circles and bands.
Yeah.
And they put their own puppets, just like they go around the world and they, you know, like Afghanistan, and they pretend it's some kind of democracy when the whole time it's just their puppets.
Yep. And, you know, when Phil Fontaine, the AFN man in before Atleo, the president of the AFN, he went to Rome, gets down on his knees in front of the Pope and kisses his ring and says that the Catholic Church is absolved for what they did in the residential schools. I mean,
yeah.
That's
I wonder how much he got paid for that.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, it's disgusting, and I every Native person I know is completely disgusted. They want nothing to do with the AFN for that reason.
Wow, good. I hope there needs to be such a mass awakening through the Native bands across Canada.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
it is.
It's happening, yeah.
You think it's happening?
Oh, I see it all the time, especially in the inner city. You know, about 3/4 of Natives live off reserve. They're in the city. They don't have access to the government money. They're ignored by the AFN and all their so-called leaders. So those are the ones who are, you know, and the young Natives in the city, they're the ones who really are aware of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Good. Okay, I'll continue on a little bit. This illegitimate piracy of our lands and peoples by the Crown and Church has corrupted every level of society, including the courts, which serve to validate the continued theft of our lands and resources while denying just remedy and relief to those who suffer from the depredations of Crown and Church, including by allowing Crown and Church to evade criminal justice for their deliberate genocide of countless Native peoples, including residential school children. And here, Kevin, this ties so much into what you faced in British Columbia, trying to take these matters of the genocide against the Natives to the RCMP and the courts, and you can't get anywhere with it.
No. No, as a matter of fact, we not only not get anywhere, but every time you rely on those agencies, you're set back, because their purpose is to keep the perpetrators safe and bury the evidence and attack the eyewitnesses. And that's under the guise of healing and reconciliation. That's what they're doing. They're talking healing to the world. And behind the scenes, they're getting rid of eyewitnesses. They're destroying grave sites. They're delegitimating my work and the work of other people who are trying to bring out this truth. So, yeah, very much. This is why you have to say, well, we don't rely on these people. It's kind of like, you know, expecting any ruler of an empire to hold themselves accountable. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Do you think, like, I'm so curious, like, as to, like, take the RCMP. Is the corruption only at higher levels? I mean, surely most of the younger officers, men and women, go into the RCMP, I think, with honorable motives, wanting to serve, and then they get in there, and I guess they're locked into a kind of institutional structure, and they themselves don't really grasp the criminality of what they've become part of. Do you
very
see
much,
it?
You know, until about 4 years ago, in the RCMP headquarters in Regina, right in the main foyer, there was a glass case, and in it was hanging the rope that they used to hang Louis Riel with.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's as if nobody questioned that until finally the Métis got off their ass and said, well, you better take that out. That's pretty bad. And they did. But people can be part of that kind of system of murder and not even realize it for what it is. So I think, yeah, a lot of people go in with good intentions. But the point is, it's not so much the individuals as what are they serving? Who are they really serving? And do they even know their own history? And most of them don't.
Yeah, so the officers and themselves are deceived, like they don't grasp the structure of what they're involved in. Like, I have a son in the Canadian military who's scheduled to go to Afghanistan. Now, 3 years ago, I accepted that because my son thought, you know, he was defending Canada and defending democracy. But then we find out the whole war in Afghanistan is not for democracy. It's not for justice. It's for the psychopathic world elite to bring about their fascist New World Order and to murder people and take over the Middle East. So the Afghanistan is a completely criminal war.
Uh-huh.
And yep. That's the case, like most men and women, I'm sure, who go into the Canadian military, like the police or intelligence services, they go in with honorable motives. Uh-huh. And they've been deceived then as to what the underlying reality is. It's truly tragic.
Very much. And my co-host, who was a soldier in Iran, a co-host on my radio program, Reg Argue, he said he took an oath of allegiance to the Canadian people, not to the crown. And any soldier and policeman needs to know that they have to be serving the people and not, you know, this foreign monarch who has no jurisdiction over us and the people they serve. And so I think that that's just something we have to keep talking to the people on the ground about all the time.
Yeah. I know in the Canadian military, most of the soldiers now realize that the law is a complete fraud, all based on lies.
Yeah.
But you see the treasonous activities of the upper military who are controlled by all these secret societies, the Trilateral Commission and the CFR. These people have taken over our society, and they've been in control for decades.
Well, that's why in one of the points in our Constitution of Gannata, we say that the Republic of Gannata, its government would sever all ties with the International Monetary Fund, the Trilateral Commission, all of these international agents of the New World Order. We would simply sever ties, no military alliances, all of that. I mean, that's part of what we need to do to really declare sovereignty.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You see this whole, like the UN also is, I mean, the UN was originally set up by the Council on Foreign Relations and all these major international agencies have become completely corrupted. I mean, you think of the NATO. NATO's involved in the war in Afghanistan. All those NATO countries are lying to their own peoples about the causes of that war.
Yep.
So none of them are protecting their citizens at all. It's just they use the armies of people and the goodwill of people to serve these psychopathic elites.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so tragic. It's so tragic. You know, I've been reading this book by Jim Mars, Rule by Secrecy. And you go back and you see Vietnam, you know, 50,000 Americans dead and hundreds of thousands injured, and then hundreds of thousands injured through the Gulf War vaccinations. It's like these elites don't care for their soldiers and military and intelligence peoples at all. They just used as pawns. It's so disgraceful. It's so overwhelming. That's why I loved this declaration. I thought, my goodness, this is truly profound. Okay, read on. I'll skip through a little bit because we got about 10 minutes more before. Where the time has come to establish a free, responsible, and just society of sovereign men and women in Canada as a republic of equals who accept their sovereignty by consenting to freely associate according to common law and due process. We therefore proclaim as self-evident that all men and women are created equal and are endowed by creation with inalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the free enjoyment of the earth, and are established to care for and share equally the earth and its resources. The land, the sea, and its wealth are not the property thereof of any person or group, but belong equally to the people and are held in common by the people as a visible sign that the natural law of peace, justice, and equality is honored and safeguarded. Okay, so skipping along a little bit, there's articles of the Constitution of the Republic of Canada, and this is some of the remedies that are being suggested. One of them, all ties and allegiance to the Crown of England are hereby and forever severed and annulled. The Dominion of Canada and the office of the Governor General are hereby abolished, and the oath of allegiance to the Crown and Queen of England is annulled. Wow. Imagine really freeing ourselves of these tyrants, eh?
Mm-hmm.
all previous treaties, agreements, and other declarations establishing the so-called supremacy of the Crown and Church of England and the Vatican over the territory known as Canada are cancelled and declared null and void. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's freeing up the land. It's freeing up people from any of these chattel, these bonds of slavery.
Yeah, and exactly. And the articles go on, and it's like you would take back all the assets of Canada.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these people have all, really, this is a terrorist organization. The Crown of England and Vatican are terrorist organizations. So even according to Canadian law, you can seize the assets of any group involved in terrorist activities. So if we ever applied even Canadian law, you could seize the assets of these elites throughout North America.
That's right, but only if you've taken, first if you've broken any allegiance to them, because if you're in an oath of allegiance to a terrorist, you have to serve them under the law. It's only by stepping back and saying, I don't serve this person, I serve something else, that you can then confront them. And that's been the problem all along. You know, when you go to court, every lawyer takes an oath of allegiance to the Crown. Yet it's the Crown that helped commit genocide. So how can you ever put the Crown on trial? You can't under the present system.
Yeah.
You need something different.
Yeah. So really, well, I'm not going to try to read through too much of this more. I think we've certainly got the gist of it, and people can read it up on my website. So where do you see the next steps? So awareness of this document is growing through the Native communities across Canada?
It's growing through all communities. It's being picked up and is being read and shared all over the country, all the different Indian nations as well. The thing to understand is that it's an invitation to people. We want people to keep talking about this. And most importantly, I think the first practical step, besides establishing a movement to bring this about, is setting up our own court system. Under natural law, common law, we have the right to establish our own courts. When the legal system is not serving us but is our enemy, which is what it's become, we have to set up our own way of enacting justice. And this is historically the way nations come about. They set up, like in Ireland, where my people are from, we set up our own court system right under the nose of the British. We set up our own parliament called the Dáil Éireann. We didn't recognize the Queen anymore. And it's by setting up the courts like that, that you start establishing a different society right in the shell of the old, if you like. And so that's one of the things we're working on as well.
Wow. Well, I'm very interested. If there's anything I can do to support your movement or to participate in it, I'm most pleased to. And I'm the Native chairperson for the Canadian Action Party, and I fully endorse this declaration. I'm so overwhelmed by the criminality of our government and how disgraceful they've treated not only Native people, but all Canadians.
Yes.
And they've gotten...
One thing you can do, people should know, I'm actually coming to Ottawa on September 23rd. I'm giving a talk. It's being sponsored by Denis Rancourt, who is a University of Ottawa professor who was victimized. And we're having a panel of three of us talking about whistleblowers. It's going to be in the evening of the 23rd of September. And you can contact Denis for the information. I don't have it at my fingertips here, but his email is Denis, like D-E-N-I-S, period, R-A-N-C-O-U-R-T, like Rancourt, @gmail.com. And he can give you more information about where it is and everything. So I hope if you can come to that, Chris, or at another time, when I'm there, we can sit down and talk more about that and how we can work together.
Yeah, I will try to make that. I've had Denny on this show. He's been a guest on one show.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he's organizing it, so he can tell you all about it.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. And in the meantime, how do you think, you know, my most immediate concern is this enforced inoculation programs and how that's going to be carried out against Natives across the country. Like, are Native bands at all beginning to wake up to the seriousness of this threat to them?
Oh, I think people have a lot of awareness of it. Like, people know on the ground what happens when they get a lot of these flu shots and everything. People with compromised immune systems, like Native people and the sick and the elderly, you know, a lot of the people I work with on the street of Vancouver who are AIDS, HIV positive, or who are suffering in poverty, those are the last people who should be receiving shots, and they know it. But, you know, their own government-funded chiefs come and push these things on them. So I think it's, you know, there's in fact a protest happening this Friday in a number of different cities in Canada, sponsored by the Vaccine Resistance Movement. And there's one here in Vancouver. I think it's happening in several, in Toronto and Montreal. I'm not sure about Ottawa, but I know that there is the resistance movement is having these protests this week to kind of make the public more aware of this.
Yeah, well, I have Wayne Pronti on in the second half of the show today. And he'll be discussing this because he's been one of the major people organizing this three days of national protest against the enforced inoculations.
Yeah, that's great. I've been working with, I'm aware of Wayne and the work he's doing. That's, I'm glad you've got him on.
Yeah. And I think also Joel Lord, his work is so important that we need to try to start filing legal charges or civil suits against the government.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'll leave that issue in their capable hands.
Yeah. It seems we face such obstacles. It's like the elites have unlimited funds. And most of us in the truth movement, you know, because of our belief in truth and righteousness, We sure buck the grain, and it's sure a difficult path sometimes.
Yeah, but, you know, our strength is always in our numbers and in the fact that, you know, we have the Internet, we have alternative media, and we just got to keep at it and be as visible and public and noisy as we can.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel in a way, at least we save our souls.
Uh-huh.
Like, I would rather die in truth and righteousness and sell my soul out for material gain in this life and be a puppet of these people. Because I believe in multidimensional existence. And these people have no idea what they're getting themselves into after death in the judgment processes that will happen and what will occur to them after death.
Yep.
You know, they say at a person's death, the heart is weighed because it's what is within the heart that is the quality of a man.
Mm-hmm.
The natives used to say they couldn't trust the white man because the white man thought you thought with your head, and they didn't trust them. They had nothing in their hearts.
Exactly. Yes.
So, okay, well, we're coming down to the hour here, and I'll look forward. I'll be out, if I'm still in Ottawa, I may travel across Canada in the next months myself, and I hope to work with another Native man, you know, taking the anti-vaccination program through Native communities, so we may work together at that a bit, and I may come out to British Columbia.
Well, I hope you do. And let me know, we can talk off the air, but I can... I'd like to know where you're going. I can connect you up with people, too.
Yeah, great.
Good.
Okay, yeah, good. So thank you very much,
thank
Kevin,
you.
And we'll stay in touch, and I'll definitely invite you back again when the opportunity and the timing is right.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you. You're one of the most remarkable Canadians for your efforts through many, many years now to face these issues bravely. And all you've gone through on a personal level to maintain your integrity. You're a true Christian, and I don't know if you still identify with that. I'm sure you do.
Well, we can. It's a big topic, but I with the substance, not the organized religion part of it.
Exactly, exactly. Because I feel the same. I grew up in a Christian family and still identify with that, but then I see the corruption and disgrace of the Catholic Church and such.
Well, and there's no reason for people to have any allegiance to those churches. You know,
no.
They stand in the way of you being a real Christian, actually. That's my belief.
And you've certainly held their crimes out in public view for people to see what they're all about through your efforts in British Columbia. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thank you,
and just give out your website one final time.
It's www.hiddenfromhistory.org.
And is the proclamation for a united Gannata up on your site?
It is. I believe it's up by now, but I'll check. If it isn't, it will be very soon.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, the best thing is people, if they want to email me, I can send it to them. hiddenfromhistory@yahoo.ca is the email.
Great.
Great.
Okay, thank you very
Chris.
Much, Kevin.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, that was Kevin Nanette, one of the most fearless and dedicated Canadian truth activists. Was a United Church minister, and then he began to uncover the evidences of genocide committed against the Native people in British Columbia. 50 to 70,000 people, I think he estimates, were murdered in the residential schools, and all of it hidden now by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Yeah, they serve and protect, the police say, but who do they serve and who do they protect? Yeah, that's the questions we have to ask. Okay, now I don't know, my next guest is from Toronto, and another truth activist, and another what I would call a soldier of the new age, someone who believes in truth and justice, more so than believing in their own pocketbook, and someone who puts his life on the line in trying to work within the Toronto community. Black Krishna, are you available online?
Yes, Chris. How are you?
Okay. Welcome. You could introduce yourself, Black Krishna, a little bit, your background, and you're out there on the streets of Toronto today on the Grassroots Awakening program.
Absolutely. Today I just left our street action taking place every Saturday from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. For an hour to do this interview. And I'm an activist, a journalist, essentially I'm a philosopher, translating different ideas into journalism, activism, music, and other forms in order to let people know about the New World Order and let people know what we can do about the New World Order.
And you're out on the streets today, so where are you and what are you doing on the streets?
We are at the southwest corner of Dundas Square at Yonge and Dundas in downtown Toronto. There's probably 100,000 people that pass through here on a Saturday as a ballpark estimate who at least see the table. And then there's dozens or even hundreds that either take flyers or come up to our table and talk to us. One of the big campaigns that we're on right now is to stop the mandatory vaccination programs being implemented worldwide. A lot of people don't know, although it's fairly public, a lot of people don't put two and two together, that our governments don't set a lot of our policies anymore. They're set by international bodies through treaties we're signatories to. So when the UN says we have to do X, Y, or Z about the environment, governments worldwide comply. And when the World Health Organization recently said that they have 5 billion vaccines they want to administer globally over a year and a half to everybody, that's a signal to countries worldwide to figure out how to get their populations to agree to this. And the nation of Greece has the birthplace of democracy. 1 million citizens there no longer have a say in whether or not they'll be vaccinated against the swine flu. So policies like that are coming to Canada, and my colleagues and I, as part of the Toronto Truth Seekers organization at torontotruthseekers.com, are on the streets this afternoon trying to spread the word about this to see if we can generate enough public awareness to stop it.
Yeah, I think this is a critical issue to be exposed, to expose the New World Order. Like, here they are, like, caught with their pants down, in a sense. Like, here they are, attempting to bring about genocide and spread illnesses through their vaccinations, which are so obviously not scientifically validated. Like, they couldn't possibly have produced vaccinations against these and produce reliable scientific evidence for their effectiveness, plus the fact that they themselves are implicated in having concocted the H1N1 flu in the first place.
Absolutely, and the obvious thing is look at the history of the government when it comes to this type of activity to see the mistakes they've made in the past, even the admitted ones, although the press and the mainstream media won't recall those when they're bringing up the latest fear-mongering that they're up to. But also, Chris, I like to use logic to get the casual person who to sort of meet them halfway. So, for example, if people still believe in vaccines and believe they work, fine. The idea that they should be mandatory is crazy, because if you take a vaccine that protects you from X, Y, or Z, say it protects you from swine flu, then you took that vaccine and you took the risk of what might happen if you take that vaccine, including potentially side effects, because you think that vaccine gives you immunity against specific. So if I get that something specific and you take a vaccine, then you should still think you will be fine even if I get sick. So the idea of mandatory vaccines makes no sense. parents out there, if you send your child to school and they are not vaccinated, if the other children in class are vaccinated, then the parents of those children should think their children will be fine if they think vaccines work, and you should not have to get your child vaccinated. So the idea of mandatory vaccines, when vaccines are supposed to protect you against illnesses just in case other people fall sick, makes no sense. And that logical bridge gets us to people at least accepting that concept. And from there, if they look deeper into it and if they get exemption forms from VRAN.org, VRAN.org, including the ones we're handing out today, at Dundas Square, we're handing out dozens and dozens of copies of vaccine exemption forms, legal Ontario government documents, then they can figure out the rest for themselves. But the bottom line is at least get them curious about the whole vaccine issue as opposed to challenging everything they believe in right at once.
Well, could you send me a copy of that form?
Absolutely. It's on
because if you do, I'll make it available from my website, plus I'll print them out myself.
Please do. It's on. And this is the interesting thing, Chris. I've known about VRAN for a while. Other people have. My colleague Mark here in Toronto, daughter Serena, he actually went through this process. He downloaded the form from VRAN.org. He went to a judge because you have to get it signed by a judge or a notary here in Ontario. He went to a judge, paid $60, and said to the judge, hey, judge, is this a legal Ontario government document? The judge said, yeah. He said, hey, judge, can you sign that to that effect? The judge said, sure. He went to his school, and he said to his school, his daughter's school, and he said, look, if you're ever thinking of vaccinating, you go through her medical records, you're going to see this. Call me. You're not allowed to touch my daughter with any of that stuff. And more Canadians can do this, and if more Canadians spread the word about the vaccine exemption forms, then at least we'll have that as a precedent. And we can say, look, this is a government document, a legal document, that's a contract between myself and the state saying that my child does not have to be vaccinated. In a few weeks or a few months, they may make those documents and those contracts invalid going forward. So it's important to get the word out now and get as many people as possible to hand in their exemption forms to protect their families.
Yeah. In the last half hour of the show, we're going to have Wayne Pronti on, who's one of the main people spearheading the 3 days of Canadian-wide protests against enforced inoculations. So let's leave that aside a little bit for the moment, Black Krishna, and deal with some of your other issues and some of the other areas you work on. Can you give a website where people can hear some of your hip-hop music?
Kind of revolutionary music.
Sorry?
Yeah, it's a soundclick.com/Black Krishna. So sound, CLICK.com/Black Krishna. But you can also just Google BLACKKRISHNA. And in my email signature and my blog signature, there's links to my music, my radio shows, video footage that I've done, and so on. And, the music is one big key, Chris, in terms of this. It has a subtle hypnotic, powerful effect. And what the New World Order does is they use music to get us bobbing our heads and sort of passively agreeing to bad ideas. So it's important for artists out there to put good ideas while using music to give us the energy to handle those. An Alex Jones clip on its own, you know, a 2-minute, 3-minute clip, might be hard for something to take. But if you put that to a beat, electronic music, instrumental music, any kind of music, then people will get the energy that music gives you to handle the information. So that's partly what I'm trying to do with my music and what I recommend people do with the great work of a lot of patriots out there and deep researchers and truthers is to find ways to give that to the public in ways that the public is used to or ways that make it easier for the public to handle the gravity of the information and situation.
Yeah. Yeah, Black Krishna is a wonderful handle. Firstly, black because you have that beautiful black colored skin, and then Krishna because the story of the Gita, there's Krishna out on the battlefield, and it's a whole story about the restoration of righteousness in the world, and Krishna is like the ultimate warrior.
Absolutely, and I wrote this song in May 13th of 2003. I just wrote a song. I was experimenting with music back then, and the chorus of the song says, I be the black Krishna, God on this earth. I'm raised 5,000 years before my first birth. In this land of freedom, the formula don't work, so I'm a drink and smoke until they burn me to earth. And what it is it's kind of a reaction to the thousands of years of culture and socialization we've had. I'm not against tradition. I'm not against old world values and promoting a lot of them. But I do think that we need to double check the practices and traditions that we have and update them and make sure that they're in line with the latest findings we have. So you could believe in X, Y, or Z, but if you don't know about the New World Order, then X, Y, and Z might be part of the long-term agenda. If you do know about the New World Order, you can reject certain aspects of certain philosophies out there that are given to us, the good ones, and get rid of the bad ones.
Yeah, I found that as you learn more and more about history and what's happening in the world now, after a while, it gets simpler and simpler. Like you see, yes, there really is a group of psychopathic elites, and it's a trilateral commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderberg groups. These are all secret societies. They've taken control of our supposedly democratic governments. They're the shadow governments. They perpetrate the wars themselves. All the wars have been based on lies and manipulation. All the wars have been unnecessary. These people are impoverishing people through the bailouts and other means. And it, after a while, it just all falls together. And then it's astonishing because the masses of people just have no idea because they're so hypnotized by the TV, the media, which has intentionally deceived people for the past 50 years about all the crimes of the government and deceived through the educational system because they actually, in a way, rewrote history and have hidden the truth from Canadians and Americans and other peoples.
Absolutely, but the great thing is that we know all this. I mean, you know, if a jury of 12 people convicted somebody, one individual, for, you know, planting bombs in the World Trade Center, or convicted one scientist for falsifying global warming science, a jury of 12 in a court of the evidence, then we would accept that as proof. In our business, as it were, there's a jury of 12 million people that, if they've not convicted, they've at least indicted this group of families and their minions for this New World Order construct the world operates in. So we have sort of an inarguable standard of proof. The problem is that there's no way people would believe that we're right if we're not doing something about it. If there's a plan out there to kill 6 billion people, which ostensibly there is, the Georgia Guidestones say, you know, they want it down to 500 million, and many, many other documents, see Alex Jones' Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement for more, reveal that they have these genocidal plans. If the people that know about this aren't reacting to that in an appropriate way, then it's hard to buy their internal logic. So I can see why the general public isn't buying what we're saying. I hope that people out there who say, why aren't people waking up? I hope they're not, you know, sitting on their hands and you know, not trying to wake people up. If you're trying to wake people up, then you can maybe ask that question. If you're trying to wake people up, then you can't. So I'm not trying to pick any fights here. I'm just saying that if you empathize with everyone involved, whether it's the general public going through generations of brainwashing, their grandparents, great-grandparents were brainwashed in the systems of those times, you could have empathy for their current situation. And if you look at the truther community, the more people that do things and that can say to their friends, you know, I was on the street for 8 hours on Saturday handing this stuff out. I downloaded legal exemption forms and gave them to a lot of parents. I got feedback from the community where lots of people saw us and lots of people came up and talked to us and they like us and they're supportive of what we're doing. Then people around you will see how seriously you're taking it and you'll have more credibility when it comes to these issues. So all I say is that we have to get out in the streets. We've got to condense the knowledge that we've accrued over years and that we've spoken about for hours into some very, very simple flyers and so on that people can digest. If you got to India 5 years before I did, Chris, and I just got there, then I'd expect you to show me around. I expect you to tell me where good places are to eat and so on. And if we got to, quote-unquote, Conspiracyville 5 years before the general public, then we have to make it easier for them to get there fast and for them to find ways to protect their families and friends.
Yeah, we have to make it easier for people like after us to comprehend it more easily and to make it like making it more accessible to people and not overwhelming them initially. I think when I first learned about this, all this stuff, I was so horrified. I would be out in public and I in parking lots and point up to the chemtrails and like speak out loud, tell people, here, the Rockefellers are poisoning you. Look, they're poisoning you. But it's like so shocking. Like, I know when I woke up, myself and my girlfriend, we were just like ourselves, and we had no support for the awareness we had come into. But then you begin to realize through the internet that there's this whole worldwide movement, and there is a support, there is a truther community, and that's growing by leaps and bounds.
I agree. I think that what we can do as people who quote-unquote have woken up is we can think more about the bridge to the public than about the New World Order. A lot of people sort of focus on informing the informed, you know, sending the latest article about X, Y, or Z happening to a group of people that already know, generally speaking, that X, Y, and Z are happening. They just get updates. So they're planning on, you know, swine flu vaccines, and here's an article on mass graves. But none of that really reaches out to the general public. The science of that is something that we have to get a bit more into in detail. And one of the things that I like to do is I like to reverse engineer solutions from people's existing concerns. The only thing people care about these days is health, wealth, and relationships. That's it. So if you talk about, you know, North Korea bomb South Korea, but there's not much they can do about that. But if you give them information to, you know, allow them to, you know, free themselves from the possibility of being vaccinated, or if you give information that says to avoid aspartame or MSG, if you give them information that says to invest in gold or silver and other commodities and get out of stocks, or if you talk about maybe some of the work of Dr. Henry Macau about how we've been socialized and how the media is bringing us down. Boys are being told, act stupid, act tough, shoot stuff. Girls are being told, you know, make your hair shiny, make your ass tiny. And, you know, basically your new world orders are no good for you when it comes to every aspect of your life. So instead of going top down, instead of, you know, or as I like to say, to hell with the Rothschilds. What about that child? You know, let's not focus on the top. What about that child?
Yeah.
What about any child? To hell with the Rothschilds. I don't care if it's the Rothschilds or Rosicrucians or Knights Templars or the Pope or the Queen, the Jesuits or the Masons running the world, or the reptiles for that matter. That doesn't matter to us as much. That's an internal conversation. You and I can, you know, have a drink and go into that in some detail, and we can share the knowledge we learned and whether or not the Protocols of Zion is real or not. But for the general public out there, taking the existing concerns they have, everyone, if you ask them right now, say, how you doing? Oh, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling great. Everyone will say, great, great. But if you ask them this question, what do you think about the future? Everyone will admit they're worried. So there is some wiggle room there. We have a population that's basically been taught to be happy. We've got a great environment to work in, and wage keep it happy environment to work in. And you can't sell the truth unless you look happy. You bought it. If people look at us and they see we're happy and we're calm and we're dedicated and we're motivated and we're considerate and compassionate, then they'll think, well, if I look at that information, you know, I'll be okay, and it won't screw me up in ways that'll make me antisocial and angry and so on. So you can't sell the truth unless you look happy you bought it. We got to go out there with a positive, confident, optimistic attitude. We got to use prophecy and policy, if you like. So we can't just go with prophecy and fatalism. We got to use both to say, look, there's actually legislation that's being passed. And when Jay Leno jokes on his, and other talk show hosts have joked for 8 years that Bush is destroying the Constitution, it's sort of publicly acknowledged. We've got to say, why would he do that? Why would they destroy the Constitution when the only thing the Constitution does is protect the people from the government? So these are connections that we have to make out there, but we have to do it in a way that empowers people. And lastly, Chris, on this little point here, the elite know, the New World Order, the globalists know that the only way to get large amounts of people doing something is problem, reaction, solution. If I give you problems, then I'm a jerk, because people have their own problems. They don't need my problems. They don't need more problems. If I give you your problem, reactions, and solutions, then you've got the full package. You can go to work, and you can become a leader in your social circle among your family and friends and among the people you can influence on these issues. It's not about us. Don't even join us. You can if you want. You're open to truthseekers.com. You're more than welcome to come out and join us. But the main goal of our campaign on the streets is to give you the information to influence the people you can in your circles so that you can take action and that leadership roles become organic to existing relationships. It's not about getting a bunch of people to join somebody, not follow me, not follow anybody else, but to simply figure out what it is and use the existing relationships with people you trust to leverage this information into solutions.
Yeah, problem, reaction, solution. So you're right. We want to be providing solutions. We want to give people some direction as to what we can do. And there's so many fronts on and issues on which we can address people. Like this Codex Alimentarius, that is so important. Because you have, I'll talk to people and I'll say, do you know the government wants to restrict people's access to vitamins and health supplements and nutritional supplements? And people kind of like can't believe it. Well, why would the government want to do that? Well, the reason the government wants to do it is because, you know, these things are valuable and it makes it more difficult for them to mass murder people and spread illness. But you don't, you know, but the very fact of that they would even attempt to restrict our health freedoms, it gets people to wonder, like, what is it about this government? Like, who are they serving? There's so many issues. You know, you can look in the sky and see the chemtrails. Well, why? People can't understand. Well, why would anyone want to spray us from the air? Well, it's biological warfare. But there's so many issues.
Well, that's why I like the work of Alan Watt at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com in particular, because Alex Jones and Alan Watt, I think, are two of the best. Webster Tarpley, there's tons of people I admire. But Webster Tarpley is amazing at solutions, by the way. But what Jones will focus on is he'll focus on a lot of the day-to-day updates. And he's brilliant, 4 hours a day of radio. I can't imagine how he's as productive as he is. He's the most important thing in political history. But he will give us a lot of updates on what's happening in real-time updates and put people on that are doing activism work. What Alan does at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com is he gives people a philosophical framework for looking at the world. So you take the general idea that they want to dumb us down, they want to introduce promiscuity because the more sexual partners a person has at a young age, the less likely they are to bond with somebody later on in life, so there's less chance that they'll get married and have a family, which furthers the NWO depopulation aims. So once you have these broad things in your mind, you can interpret the world differently. You know, once you know to look for sort of phrase and symbols on government buildings, this isn't even a corporation deciding that they want to, for a lark, you know, use an old symbol. This is on the majority of our government buildings. You'll find Freemasonry symbols. Once you know that as a concept, then you can look for them. So giving people ways to, you know, philosophical frameworks to interpret the world they see is one way to beat the New World Order, because then people will do it on their own. They'll start laughing. They'll point at things in the subway and point at things or whatever. And I laugh a lot at some of the ideas being pushed in our culture. And I think it's important to not focus people just on the facts, because I've learned hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of facts over the last 5 years or so of doing this, but to focus people on how can they interpret the world in ways that are more beneficial for themselves and for their families and friends. And that is not taking the world straight the way we're meant to.
Yeah. Yeah, just to give out to listeners, if they're not familiar with Alex Jones, I'm an avid Alex Jones fan, and his movie Endgame is an absolutely brilliant movie which exposes the Bilderbergs and their plans for eugenics. And it's very relevant to Canadians because he filmed them up in Ottawa. And most people, I was in Ottawa at the time, and like hardly anyone in Ottawa even knew about this event occurring, because of course they own all the media, so the media don't cover it because their aim is to bring about their new world order by stealth. But anyway, that movie Endgame is an absolutely brilliant movie and puts the whole agenda into an historic perspective. I do recommend anyone who's not seen Endgame, watch that video, and you can link to it from my website. And the other person that Black Krishna has mentioned is Alan Watts. And Alan's show is on RBN Network, republicbroadcasting.org, and I think it's 7 o'clock each evening during the week. And Alan, as Black Krishna has said, he's very brilliant and widely studied and really gives you the philosophical and historic underpinnings of what's been happening within our society.
And you can download Mr. Watts' work from, Chris, you can download Mr. Watts' shows from cuttingthroughthematrix.com as well in case you missed the live feed.
Yeah, you can listen from his site?
You can download the MP3s, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's excellent, yeah. Okay, so we're going to have another guest on. If he's here, just say hello, Wayne. Are you in yet? Okay, they'll probably line him up, and I hope you can stay on, Black Krishna, because Wayne's going to talk about the anti-inoculation program, and we do need to try to coordinate this across the country. I'm really pleased to hear that you've taken it up as one of your main focuses there in Toronto.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I have a flyer I created, which you can download from the TorontoTruthSeekers.com listserv. Just go to TorontoTruthSeekers.com and you'll find a link there. And the flyer is Canada in 2009, What You Need to Know. So it's a national flyer. It's meant for national distribution. I also have a local Toronto version, which references, among other things, the three Freemason statues outside the Bay and College police station, just right here in downtown. You can go clearly see three statues, one of hermaphrodite cop building a pyramid with three bricks left to finish, and then two others, a little boy, giant obelisk, trolley, and a third one. And so that's Toronto-specific, but there's also Canada ones, and I think it's important for all of us to figure out how to do this. One thing that I know is a lot of people who study type of information say nobody wants to listen and so on. If you take your time to carefully condense and clarify the information, to choose the best points that you have on each topic, and to make it short and simple and sweet for people, you can just give it to them. In many cases, Chris, I don't even speak about these things. I just speak in flyer form. I was out on Monday night at a hip hop show, hanging with some people. I met a new guy there, among other people, and we were walking in direction home. He recently married, recently had a kid. I gave him a piece of paper, a tiny little piece of paper, 8 to 8.5 by 11 page, with information about vaccines that cause microvascular, courtesy of Dr. Andrew Molden at BrainGuardMD.com, and it had vran.org for the exemption forms. But I gave him that small piece of paper at the end of a night where we were all partying, and I told him, just put this in your pocket. You like me. We get along fine. Let's not start a conversation we don't want to have. You look at it later, and you decide what to do. And so you don't have to change your relationships with people. You simply have to say, this is what I believe in. I've made it as simple and clear as I possibly could for your benefit and for the benefit of anyone else who sees it. So here you go, and we'll talk about something else that doesn't get us upset, that doesn't challenge your reality in a destabilizing way. So there are things that we can do, truthers, if we show empathy and if we show creativity, that can help us win this fight.
Yeah, and I think that literature you can put on websites. Like, there are so many good informative websites, like PrisonPlanet.com or RBN, that have all kinds of articles. I mean, there's so many valuable websites. So what people can take home, a simple sheet of paper with a couple websites, and that can open up a new world to them that they can access on their own time.
And we can leave these places. I know my roommate, Darcy, and I, we went and we've done this before. And I've done this with other truthers as well in Toronto. We've gone to local businesses. We go to the back of the business when we say, hey, we're doing a local outreach from Toronto Truth Seekers to local businesses. Here's a bit of info just for you and the staff. Don't let any customers hear you. Talk to one member of the staff, preferably near the back where they can put it away and get back to their business. It is their place of business. And just say, yeah, we just want to leave a few of these with you. Any questions, be in touch. And that's it. We've done Yonge Street, we've done College Street, we've done half the Eaton Center before we decided to leave, just out of respect for their security, letting us do half the Eaton Center. And we've done the Esplanade, we've done many neighborhoods in Toronto where we've simply gone to businesses. We said, this is just for you and the staff. We're not here to bother any customers. And the idea is if we do this consistently, eventually businesses will start leaving these little pieces of paper or DVDs, things that don't take up too much space, at their counters, at the front of their stores, putting stop the SPP signs in their windows. And we'll say to businesses, look, this is a chance for you to save your business and for you to save your customers who are giving you business and for you to get involved in this. But we just have to consistently pump them with information relevant to their needs. And eventually they'll use their beautiful window space and counter space and relationship with their customers to help us in this fight.
Yeah. And one other hopeful thing is once a person wakes up, you can't go back. In a way, our numbers can only increase because once you wake up, you can't slip back and forget what you've learned. So I think our numbers will grow exponentially. And I'd like to just bring on our next guest here who's going to be available. I'd just like to introduce him. This is Wayne Pronti, and Wayne has been very active in Canada as part of the Vancouver 9/11 group, and he helped sponsor and put on the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Conference several years ago, which had a major symposium with major speakers. And then since he worked, he has a website, War Criminals Out, and he was involved in Calgary with Splitting the Sky, a Native warrior who made an effort to arrest the war criminal George Bush when he came to Canada. And Wayne's been a part of that, and now Wayne has put his effort into raising issues about this enforced inoculations program, and he's involved now in a Canadian-wide effort to make August 28th, 29th, and 30th, a day where we try to spread truth across Canada about this imminent danger to us. Wayne, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Christopher. Thank you for having me again. And hi, BK. You guys are doing a great job out there.
I understand you met BK when you were in Toronto.
Yes, I did. I met him in Ottawa the previous year as well.
Yeah, he's a real warrior out there on the streets. But maybe, Wayne, you could tell us a little bit. You could talk about what's the newest developments about the anti-enforced inoculation program, or take it wherever you'd like, Wayne.
Sure. Well, just by way of a general summary, others may have heard your previous shows that we've done on this over the last month or so, that the World Health Organization declared a pandemic level 6 regarding the H1N1 virus on June 11th. And there is in place what is called the International Health Regulations under the World Health Organization. And Canada, as well as America, and about 190 other countries are signatories to this. And when the World Health Organization makes a recommendation, it's basically binding upon all signatory nations, and they are recommending a mass vaccination program, which could become mandatory here in Canada. We've had pronouncements by our federal government that they have ordered or purchased enough vaccine to vaccinate every man, woman, and child in Canada against the H1N1 virus, and this would be happening with multiple doses. I think I've heard as many or four different vaccines. At this point in time, they're saying we have a choice, that it's not mandatory, but we feel this is very misleading, that could change at any given time that they choose. They could declare an emergency regarding H1N1 at any moment, and what that would do would be basically strip us of our constitutional rights and freedoms. And we are launching this we have launched this movement against the threat of forced vaccinations, mandatory vaccinations, over the past month, and now it is culminating in a weekend-long national protest. It'll be It will be beginning in Vancouver, BC, on Friday, August 20th at 4 p.m., and that will be at Robson Square at the Art Gallery. It's going to be a two-hour speaking event as well as a protest. We'll have probably at least half a dozen fairly well-known speakers, including Kevin Annett, who was on your program earlier, and a number of other locals who have been very vocal on the vaccine issue over the years, who are, as well, including several doctors, in fact. I don't have the names in front of me right now, but we're urging everybody who is concerned about vaccines generally and the prospect of forced vaccinations to come out and support this in Vancouver. But also, we're looking for across the nation to take a leadership role, to get involved, to try to organize something locally in Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, etc., but also in smaller towns. This is an issue that's going to affect everybody, and we need awareness of this problem everywhere. And so it's going to be essential for people to get involved in this, and we're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to do that. A lot of people don't have any activism experience, but have heard about this and are concerned. So I've been putting together an activist toolkit, and you can get more information on the website I put up recently. It's falseflagflu.com, and you'll see there's links at the very top, or you can just scroll down to the activist toolkit section. And there I've got a number of flyers which you can that we've put together that you can download and print out and make copies of to hand out. I put together about 16 different signs, 12 banners, and 4 picket signs that are in PDF format, and they're pre-formatted so that they're actually quite large. And what you do is just download those and print them off, and then it'll come out in 12 different pages of standard letter size page, and you can post those onto a sandwich board or sign board that you can get from your Home Depot or arts and crafts stores, things like that. And of course I do have a DVD set as well, 3 DVDs each with about 5 hours worth of very intense material on the subject of vaccines, as one concerns that we have. And if anybody wants to get those, they can just email me, and I'll give them the information on how to get them.
And people, that's so excellent that you make these tools available to people, because people can just go to your website, download some of these notices, print out 10 copies, and go hand them out. That's the very least people can do. You know,
hand them out, drop them off in mailboxes, drop them off, leave them in public bathrooms, leave them in the counters of community centers, stick them up at the poster board at a coffee shop. You don't have to be, and Wayne, great job, by the way. I love everything you're doing. Please keep it up. If everyone uses what you've produced or does something like what you're doing, we're going to beat this. But the bottom line is that one thing people are afraid of is they're afraid of being accountable for the information. A lot of people aren't, like Wayne and myself, will be very public about our stance on this. So what the average person can do, or even the average truther who wants to remain semi-anonymous, just print them out and leave them. Leave them in Metro boxes. Leave them in your local community paper boxes. Just leave these pieces of paper everywhere. And when people see that the people who are looking into this area are making more sense about the swine flu and other issues in the mainstream media than the mainstream media is, then they'll respect us and they'll check out the information on the flyer, which is basically an advertisement to check out more.
That's a very good suggestion, and I welcome that, absolutely. We have made a special flyer concerning the Vancouver demonstration. I'm also willing to customize that for anybody who will just contact me and say, yes, I'm putting on an event. It's going to be at whatever town at what time, and I'll try and customize that for you. And what you can do then is take these flyers, copy them, and what I'm suggesting to people is that they hang around their local health food stores, because I think that's one of the places where you're going to find great interest and bring people on board very quickly, because I think a lot of them will already have heard about things like Codex Alimentarius and about Bill C-6, which is also something that we're addressing and we want to include in this, and that will be discussed at our protest as well, because what that is about is generally, it is it's going to be affecting our ability to get natural nutrition and supplements. And this is something that we really need in order to prevent prevent illnesses such as the flu. You need a healthy immune system. You need that from natural sources. And so what they're trying to do basically is to basically ban nutritional items from the marketplace, so that we are dependent upon big pharma for basically everything. And maybe BK could elaborate more on that.
Well,
absolutely. Are we talking to me or Chris? Sorry. With respect to Codex, I mean, I've had these ideas in terms of sort of focusing on health food stores, gyms, grocery stores. You know, people these days are being trained to love food, and there's a network, and everyone loves food and cooking and restaurants and eating out and so on. So issues like genetically modified foods, issues like fluoride in the water, things that people can relate to. I mean, fluoride and vaccines are two of my big things for my mayoral campaign here in Toronto, which I'm slowly ramping up because I'm also running for mayor using my given name. But the bottom line is that with respect to these, yeah, there are people that already have a natural interest in protecting their health freedom because they have an interest in eating healthy, living healthy, organic foods, and so on. And so all you have to do is say, you already care about this. Here's the next level of information to make sure that you still have access to the things you care about and appreciate now. So working with people's natural inclinations is totally in line with beating Codex.
Okay, sorry for the brief interruption there. I think we're back online again.
Yeah, I'm back.
And Black Pearson, you're there too. Good. Okay, so what we're picking up on, we're talking about Codex Alimentarius and promoting awareness through the health food stores. I was going to say, I think one of the most important things is that we've got to get this information to police, healthcare workers, and schools, where they're going to be, they're supposed to, they may try to do these mandatory vaccinations within the schools. I think we need to start informing the people who are going to be part of the mechanism of trying to enforce this, to get them to start looking at it. Sorry?
A City of Toronto, sorry about that. On that point, a City of Toronto employee came up to me today at the table and talking about this and said that he's going to have to take it as part of his union contract. So that's another wrinkle in the agenda. The New World Order is smart, and what they're going to do in Canada is they're going to do it piecemeal. They'll do things like there's not enough vaccines, so you better get one, or it's only going to be this percent of the population. In Maine, they recently locked down a school to do drills in case people were rioting to get the vaccine. So they're going to condition us to actually want vaccine and as part of their PSYOP. And so in this part of the world, we're so lucky, guys, that it's mostly mind control. You know, there aren't people with guns telling us what to do necessarily every day. And all the people that see us at Dundas Square, if they wanted to, could just go home, check out our information, email all their friends, and we could beat the New World Order in a week and a half. So we're just dealing with mind control here. And so being sensitive to that, I think that, we have a really, really good shot at working with what people are already concerned about to say, look, you have these fears, and knowledge beats fear. You know, fear is mostly of the unknown. Fear is of the unspoken. I don't want to look into that. I'm afraid to look into that. If you do look into that, you don't see, it's not great, but you see exactly how bad it is. You can deal with it, and you can get simple that you can also recommend to family and friends for how to deal with it. So we're in really good shape in this simple mind control. Canadians are suspicious. They're suspicious of 9/11. They're suspicious of the government. They're suspicious of vaccines. And all we have to do is react to those suspicions in a compassionate, competent way for them to react to them as well.
Yeah, the media plays such a huge role in it because many people still think that the media keep them informed. Like, people think they read the newspaper and they watch a TV news that they're informed about what's happening in the world. But really, the whole media intends to disinform people, or it's all propaganda to deceive people. The media isn't intended to inform people. It intends to deceive people. And that's what people don't grasp. And once you begin to see that, then you begin to see all the lies on the media. Like all the hype about the H1N1. Really, hardly anyone has died in the world, and already there are more deaths, I think, from the vaccines than there were even from the H1N1 in the first place. Wayne, maybe you could say something about the fraudulent science underlying all of this.
Well, sure, but let me just first address the issue you raised here, and that is that yes, indeed, I think it's essential that we do approach police and fire departments and paramedics and so on, because they are also going to be at the front of this. They're going to be probably some of the first people who will have to get the vaccines, or who will be told that they need to get the vaccines. And unfortunately, the thing about that is that because they have viruses in them, there'll probably be live viruses in these vaccines. They will begin, as soon as you take the vaccination, you begin to shed virus, which means you're going to be infecting all people around you. And what's going to happen in a couple of months if, for instance, the whole economy blows up, which has been widely predicted, you know, that the U.S. dollar is going to crash and so on, and we're going to have economic chaos. We're going to have, a real state of emergency going on. And at that same time, what would happen if many of the people in our fire departments, police departments, and paramedics were ill and unable to respond to any emergencies and so on? So that's one aspect. The other thing is that they may be called upon to administer those vaccinations to us. So I think it is absolutely a great idea and essential that we're going to have to approach those people as well and try and get them on board with us to not go along, not follow orders that are illegal and immoral. So yeah, absolutely, I concur with that. The other thing about the media,
I also agree, Wayne, and I also think that brief interjection. I agree. The people who have the courage to risk losing their jobs over this need the grassroots support of people who are not in that position. That's ordinary Canadians to step up on this issue as well. Otherwise, it'll be much more difficult for nurses, doctors, EMS workers, and so on to resist the institutional demand that they take vaccines.
Exactly. And I think as far as the media is concerned, I mean, they are losing their credibility. I mean, and that's one thing that the 9/11 truth movement can really be proud of, because we have really counteracted a lot of their propaganda. People really are waking up to a lot of things. And the whole bogus war on terror, I think people are so tired of the fear-mongering. They're tired of the lies. They got tired of all the lies about WMDs they know they were lied to. So more and more people are just not even listening to their news talk stations. They're not watching the evening news. They're not paying a whole lot of attention to it. Their subscriptions for newspapers are going down. We've got Can West. They're in financial problems because they can't get advertisers anymore. So we are having an effect, but we have to continue to be the media. That is you, I, everybody who are concerned about these issues, to get out as much information as we can to people, and do so in a way that, you know, people are going to look at us not like we're crazy and wackos and way out there, but just as normal concerned citizens, you know. And that's the approach that I try to take with everything I do, and I'm sure that's what the guys in Toronto are doing, and doing a great job of it too.
Hey, we're saying to hell with Rothschild. What about that child? You know, how do we save that child? And if the public sees us more obsessed with saving the children in this country than we are with yelling at a bunch of crazy inbred old people, then they might empathize with that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we have to take responsibility as individuals for the world that we have around us. And that's basically all I'm trying to do. But, you know, a lot of people have this sort of, oh, well, let's wait and see approach, or, oh, gee, if I don't do it well, somebody else will step up and do it. But, you know, there's only so many people that have been involved in many of these things, and we've only got so much time on our end, and we can't do it all, you know. And this is too huge to ignore it, you know. And we need people to step up now, because you can't wait until we're under orders from the WHO or under a national emergency, which is essentially going to be martial law, and then try to resist. The time to speak up about it is now.
Yeah.
Not the kids are going back to school or at some future time.
Yeah, this is so imminent and serious, because once people get these inoculations, there are so many poisons in their body that they're never removed. Like, they may not have immediate reaction to those inoculations, but they may have a lifelong of ill health. Like, the squalene in these inoculations, as you were saying last time, Wayne, it simulates some natural elements in the joints and such, and is likely to cause like very serious arthritis for people, as well as all kinds of other cancers and autoimmune disorders and so on. And once these inoculations are given, there's no turning back. I mean, maybe to some extent there are other natural methods which might be used to reverse the damage done. But this is very, very serious. A whole generation of people may be decimated by these inoculations.
You can go to generationrecovery.org, the website that's in part run by Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey. So it's also a great one to pass on, because people do like and relate to celebrities. And she's found, after using their millions of Hollywood dollars to try and reverse her son's autism, that certain changes in diet, removing gluten and other bread products from the child's diet and so on, can reverse autism, especially if it happens early. We just recommended that to some Muslim brothers who also have a table beside us at Dundas Square, among other tables there. And the bottom line is that working with Dr. Andrew Mulvan and talking to some of his colleagues in this, is that our body's own immune systems are what we should rely on to fight against all diseases and illnesses. The one-size-fits-all approach to medicine doesn't work. You and I taking the same pill, and we're two totally different people, and whatever we have is affecting us in totally different ways, doesn't work. So the most important thing for people to do is strengthen their own immune system, so if they do get a sniffle, their body can beat up on it without injecting anything directly into their bloodstream, which is an unnatural way to receive flu virus anyway. If you take it in through your nose or your mouth, if someone else sneezes, then your mouth has a chance to beat up on it, your throat does, your stomach does, your body has a chance to react to it in ways it has for thousands of years. If you inject that same virus directly into your bloodstream, your body's overreaction causes microvascular stroke as the blood supply is cut off to different parts of your body, which causes different parts of your body to malfunction. I often say that, you and I could possibly both drink a glass of Windex. I might drop dead. You might feel fine, but that's because we're two different people. The bottom line is Windex is bad for you to drink, and vaccines are bad for you to take.
Yeah. And it bypasses your natural defenses when it's injected straight into your bloodstream.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Wayne.
And with on the topic of squalene, as we discussed in the last program, where Dr. Carley also jumped on with that, is that it does cause autoimmune system responses and autoimmune diseases. But what it is especially going to do is cause you to have what is called a cytokine storm, which is where your own immune system begins to attack itself. And that is, in fact, what happened in 1918 with the so-called Spanish flu, is that those people were experiencing what's called a cytokine storm. And I was able to look that up and find out about it. The other thing was that Dr. H. Hu Ott came out with an article in the last, I think it was on rents, where he was saying that it appears, and now Baxter was caught earlier this year putting live avian flu virus in their vaccines. And if
it was in the Toronto Sun, yeah.
If they were to do the same thing now with the vaccine for the H1N1, what that will actually do is cause it to mutate or to become a whole new virus unto itself within your body, and that will actually make things 10 times worse. Okay, it's going to recombine, and so that's his fear right now, is that may be what they're up to. So we really need to get on with this and get people to say no to the vaccines, and that's the name of our campaign. It's the We're Not Going to Take It campaign.
Yeah, that's a good,
beautiful.
Yeah, it strikes me also that we need to go after certain groups like the Canadian Medical Association, who are complicit in this, as well as Health Canada. Like, who are these public officials who are trying to sell sell these vaccination programs based on completely fraudulent science. Like, we need to get their names. I'm going to be doing this over the next while. I'm going to approach the Canadian Medical Association and see if I can lay complaints against them, as well as with the RCMP. Because the RCMP, you see, the RCMP doesn't do their job anymore. They're so complicit in all these schemes. Like, why are we as ordinary citizens needing to do this? Where are the RCMP? All these people who are supposed to serve and protect us, and they all turn a blind eye to these criminal things being done in our society. It's really shocking. And it's a disservice.
Well, like that.
The Canadian Medical Association was doing this huge disservice to Canadian doctors, because we know most doctors do care for their patients, and you know, but they're intimidated into these programs and brainwashed in the same way.
That's why people have to know their rights. When Dr. Moulton and I were working together on some of these issues, we were talking about how to approach them, because he is a medical doctor who was in the field for many years and trained as a medical doctor, and now realizes a lot of medical science is too dangerous to administer to patients. So he focuses on alternative ideas instead that aren't, you know, harmful, and big pharmacide propaganda. But the bottom line is that instead of tell your doctor, you can do an ask your doctor thing. I know that in my own family, I recommended someone not get a vaccine, and they took their new baby to their doctor, lovely, lovely woman, and the doctor said, so are you ready to vaccinate your son yet? And my friend said, no, I think we're going to hold off on that. And the doctor, looking at my friend, gave her a silent smile and a thumbs up. Probably not enough to be used in court to take away her medical license for not practicing orthodox medicine, but if you give doctors the opportunity to not vaccinate you or your child, they might take that. If you don't give them the opportunity to, then they will do it just because orthodox medicine says they have to recommend it and they should administer it. But if you as a patient know your rights and you go to the doctor, you know what, doctor, I want, they might go, thank God, I'm glad you looked into it, I don't have to do this, and we can work together with our healthcare professionals to keep us all safe.
Okay, I'm going to need to just wind up our show here. Black Krishna, thank you very much for being on today. And keep up your good work, and I hope we'll have you back again on a future show.
Thank you, Chris. Wayne, it was a pleasure.
And Wayne Pronte, Wayne, give out your website, falseflagflu.com.
.com, yes. Can I just give your listeners one quick quote before we
yes.
close up?
Yes.
It says, vaccination is a monstrosity, a misbegotten offspring of error and ignorance. It should have no place in either hygiene or medicine. Believe not in vaccination. It is a worldwide delusion, an unscientific practice, a fatal superstition with consequences measured today by tears and sorrow with no end. And that's from Charles Rota, 1899.
Wow. Well, it's even mentioned in the Protocols of Zion as one of the methods that they'll use to decimate the population. The vaccine.
Anyway, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Wayne, very much. And that was quite a show today. Three of Canada's most prominent activists, Kevin Annette, Black Krishna, and Wayne Pronte. We all need to keep at this and be waking up and avoid these inoculations. Let's take responsibility and take our countries back. Have courage. Be upright of heart. Thank you, BBS, Don and Doug, and other truthers out there. In 2 weeks' time, we'll see you then. Visit www.zeropoint.ca and see some of the new materials I've put up on my website. Thank you all. Keep the faith. Goodbye.